From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Chris.
All right. Welcome to the post-game roundtable. We just lost again to the Baltimore Ravens. The final is getting ready to be 27-13, depending on where you are, is already finished. This is your boy, Chris. We're going to handle the post-game show right about now. Giants season is basically over. We need a lot of help to get in, and I'm not counting on anything more than that. 929-477-4171 is the call-in number. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, www.bleedblueshow.com. The whole nine yards. We're going to talk about this game first because I know Giant fans. I've been one all my life, and you guys have a habit of going right into the postseason after we lose our final game. Sorry about that noise, folks. Our final game of the season, or damn near final game. So, without further ado, let's see who's on the board. I know this is the Great Azul.
Hey, happy holidays, Chris. What's going on, people? How y'all doing?
Happy holidays, bro. Hey, we here, bro. Hold on one second. I'm coming back to you. I believe this is my man, Carl. I think so.
A very Merry Carl. Christmas to you, Chris. Was there a game today?
Hold on, Carl. I'm actually, yep, that's exactly the question I have. All right, and I think this is the definition out there in the heat, right?
Yeah, this is me. Hey, a wise man once said to me, you can do a lot of dating, but no fucking. There was only dating out there on the field today. No fucking.
My God, what a cold kiss that was. Again, that's the lit. 929-477-4171. Lady Blue is listening in with me. Let me tell you, I don't remember ever falling asleep on a Giants game since probably I was a kid in the 70s. And I did it this time. I fell asleep on it in the third quarter. This game just put me to sleep, man. Literally put me to sleep. It's that bad. It was listless. It was just nothing to really scream or write home about. But that's one of the things for you people listening in for the first time. Again, if you're on our social media or whatever, if you're listening in to the Bleed Blue Show, this is you're going to hear probably the best analysis of what it takes to be a Giant fan in this world right about now. Again, 929-477-4171. The Bleed Blue Show. All right. So, final score once again, 27-13. By the way, folks, we have a 3-minute long-winded timer. You know, if you talk over 3 minutes, you're probably going to hear something like this, which reminds you to get the hell off the damn line and let somebody else talk for a change. But let's just have a little fun since it is what it is. We're 5-10 now, and we're going to need a wing and a prayer or maybe a couple of prayers left to make the playoffs, but I'm not even concerned with that anymore. Azul, I believe Blue Show. Well, well, you saw it. You watched the last 3 hours of I don't know, that was archaic pain to me. There's absolutely no first half offensive highlight to show from this game or to talk about in this game. Absolutely none. And I don't think it used to happen all the time when I was a kid when we had Ron Johnson and Fran Tarkenton. But now we've flipped all the way back with Daniel Jones and Evan Engram, the Pro Bowl Evan Engram, and I'm saying that again. There's nothing to look at. I used to be able to go to the store at halftime back in the day, man. I can almost have done it today, but forget about that. What's your assessment today, bro? What you see?
that is funny in itself when you say that, man. Pro Bowl Evan Engram, I think that's fucking laughable.
Yeah, really.
I mean, when I heard the news, because I didn't understand it at first, because I don't really follow the news. I don't follow, you know, these headline shits that the fans be really on, because I'm more of a, you know, let me see my team on the field and whatnot. When I heard that, from different Giant fans, but it was really piecemeal because I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, Evan Engram, blah, 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 from different fans from all over. But now it makes sense. It's like, it's a joke because there's no tight ends in the NFC. But listen, man, this game doesn't surprise me. So I'm not really pissed. I'm not mad. I look at it as far as, like, I kind of expected this ass whooping, to be honest with you. We didn't have a pregame show. We didn't have a we didn't have a pregame. So, especially when you look at this game on the schedule, it felt like when I looked at the schedule at the beginning of the season and saw where Baltimore was, I was like, kind of like, we're not beating them. And they're a complete football team. Well, I was a complete football team. I would say Baltimore, when we played, who was it? It was Kyler Murray and the other quarterback. We had issues with the mobile quarterback. It was just the other week. Problem is, we can't defend it. We don't have an edge rusher to get to this kind of quarterback. We don't have a game breaker on defense to give you 10-plus sacks. And we, for a while, was able to mask that issue. It's still a glaring issue. And this game exposed that to the highest of heavens. So when you can't get to the quarterback, a mobile quarterback as this attitude, it's going to be a long day. It's going to be a long day versus any team, but especially this guy who's mobile as he is. I mean, he makes it very, very easy as far as escapability, getting positive yards, keeping the chains moving. And of course, Daniel Jones, everything seems like a struggle drive. Everything's a struggle drive. I mean, that's just the entire offense. I mean, there was one series where it was three straight sacks. Some of it, a lot of it was on Daniel Jones, and some of it was on the offensive line. So it's just both. This team has ran its course this season. We're here to discuss that. I'm not here to really necessarily, put the blame on one in particular person. It's just a total letdown across the board. That's the way I see it. And I didn't see going into this game as we had a fighting chance. Like, this was like a one game on the schedule. I just said, nah, man, I just don't see it. This was even after Seattle. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, right. You know, defensively, this was a nightmare matchup versus that type of quarterback. And it was a game where I just didn't see the offense. You know, they can't get separation. Receivers, tight ends, whatever. It didn't matter who was in there, man. We just need a total retooling this offseason. I know we got one game next week. Oh, yeah, there's one more thing before we move it on, because I'll say a little more things a little bit more. When we get to the last final thoughts from everybody, we're going to make our Week 17 predictions at the end of the episode. And people who are going to hear this episode who have been doing the pick-ems, give us your selection by in the next Sunday, because, you know, that's the last week. That's the only thing we have left of this season for this podcast is pretty much the confidence points, because the season for the Big Blue is done. It's a wrap.
Yep. So, hey, you know what I noticed, though? The defense was gassed, man. They spent 11, well, it says officially 11 minutes and 24 seconds on the field in the first quarter, but it seemed like it was forever. It seemed like it was the entire one. But they were done in the first. They were done in the first quarter, bro. It's a testament to their fortitude that they lasted long. Yeah,
but it's both, Chris. It's both. Offense can't sustain drives. Defense can't get them off. Can't get off the field. It's both. And you know, the defense for the season has done a lot of good, and I'm glad that we've got a lot of production out of the season. I'm glad Logan Ryan actually got the contract extension, so maybe we could build upon this. Add an edge rusher, you know, won't get into the offseason Giants talk, whatever. But honestly, man, I mean, the defense, we did ask the defense as much as they could. And there's been a couple of games they got, you know, terribly exposed. But this offense, it really is, I mean, spacious with or without Saquon Barkley. Even the offensive line has, you know, has shown some spurs, man. We have got the, you know, as much as the other stakeholders get on the quarterback, and I get it because it's frustrating watching
You
know, the pocket presence, awareness, and it's bad, man. And I don't know, maybe because not having that training camp really hurt them. So let's pass this on to the next stakeholder. Let them get some shots at that.
Well, you call that right.
I didn't even see the clock, man. I swear to God, I did not see the clock. I didn't see the clock. So.
It's all good. It's all good. Before we go to Carl, I'm going to read Lady Blue's comments. She said, basically, we suck. I hate Ingram. Need to play Pettis more. Stupid play calling. Once again, third and short. He calls a long throw. I don't understand that. and the offensive line has issues with Lemieux and Thomas. And I think you're going to hear that echoed definitely probably within three of the next four callers. But we'll go on, man. Again, everyone, 929-477-4171. You're listening to the post-game roundtable show of our game with the Ravens. We fell 27-13, and we are now 5-10 in the season, and we're praying for a miracle. All right. Call my man. For the show, man, why don't you comment on that question?
Well, you know, I wondered how much eggnog that the Giants had before this game. You know, it certainly looked that way about 10 minutes in. I mean, you could have turned the television off right then and there after about 10 minutes. So, you know, you know, and Steve just mentioned it. I talked about it last week a bit, but it bears repeating again. There is a talent deficiency on this team. It was disputed by, you know, last week. But we saw it in plain sight again. You know, unfortunately, there's no, as Steve mentioned, the game breakers, either on the defensive line, the linebacking position, the wide receivers. At one point in the game, I think the Giants were throwing to C.J. Board, Dante Pettis, Austin Mack, and somebody else. You know, they targeted, all you need to know about the offense is that in the red zone in the first half, they targeted Austin Mack twice. That's all you need to know about the state of the offense right there. So we're 3 years into this, and we're still talking about upgrading basically everywhere, and that's an issue. I'm looking at my notes here from the game. Second quarter, Dixon makes the tackle on the punt returner to save a long return, and I asked myself, how come the Giants special teams over the last few weeks has not gotten any criticism at all? If you read the stories, it's almost – you almost can't find it. And I asked that in the context of this. You know, when Shermer's offense struggled early – the criticism was that Sherman was his expertise was offense, and so he was criticized based on that. On that same level, Judge's expertise is special teams, and somehow in the second half of the season, the special teams has gotten awful, and this is without any rash of injuries. All of a sudden, just out of nowhere, the special teams sort of on a week-to-week basis has just been bad. So someone has to explain that to me. We talked about the defense. You know, there was this idea of them being quote-unquote bend but don't break or whatever that, you know, that concept means. And so I'm looking at the play numbers from the last two games. 10-play drive, 13, 10, 14, and then today 13, 10, 13, and 10. That totals out to 93 plays. Of those 93, there's been only one sack, no interceptions, and two plays in which they forced the opposing team to lose yardage. So basically that tells me that the defense has no way to push offenses back, create sacks, take away the ball. That speaks to the talent right there. If you have higher levels of talent, you don't allow any of this to go down. And so that's what's happening. And I'm looking at here, Darius Slayton, 10 catches in the last five games combined. Like, big play stuff. No, stop. We have to stop.
You can't win like that.
Three false starts with no crowd noise? Seriously? Like, really? And the play that kind of bought – we talk about the X's and O's and big plays. The play in the fourth quarter where Jackson avoids being sacked, he throws that pass to Edwards, puts out a tackle, and then runs up the field for an extra 25 yards. That tells you where we need to make the improvements. Special plays win games in this league. And until we get those guys, we're going to be kind of throwing dirt against the wall, basically.
Against the wall, exactly. You know, I also have to add that our lady had also had that on her notes as well. I neglected to tell you, our special teams suck.
Chris.
All right. so yeah, you guys are speaking Giant language here, big blue language. Next up,
Chris,
the definition of lit. Yes.
Hello? Man, this is why we have to play at 1 o'clock and not Sunday Night Football.
Oh.
The Jets beat the fucking Browns.
Oh, that's another goddamn thing. And that's another thing.
God.
Before, hold on, Liz, before you talk. All right. It's getting to the point where I'm starting to think, you know what, the funny thing is, I have glimpsed at the Jets games, the last four of them, actually. And they're starting to peak now, too damn late. But they went in there today. I got to tell you guys this. Some of you guys already know. They went into that Browns game at MetLife today with a swagger. You heard me? They did not look like a team that is ready for the number two pick in the draft. They came in there fired up, ready to fight. They were gonna put it down. Now, granted, you know, what's their quarterback's name for the Browns? God damn, I'm losing my mind here. Anyway, he don't have any receivers to throw to anyway. Okay, let's call it what it is. You know, everybody's on COVID over there. But damn, I was very impressed how the Jets came out. They came out more fired up than the Giants did. I don't get it. We got to fix that too before next season because these fans are going to kill each other. I'm telling you, Steve, you know better than I do. You wear all these damn tailgates. There's no love lost in that shit. Well, whew, I don't know what to say. It's funny. It's funny, but it ain't funny. I don't know what to say. Anyway, Lit, you're on the clock, bro. Do your thing. 929-477-4171, everyone.
So to ping pong of what Carl said as far as the talent, we lack the talent. you know where I'm going with this. The talent is brought in by David Gettleman, and we are basically trying to squeeze blood out of turnips. And that's kind of what we've had today. Today was the decision needs to come down very soon if we are headed in the right direction. Obviously, we have the right coaching philosophy. At times, the coaching is questionable. Some of the play calling, the situational play calling, the personnel play calling is very questionable. But as far as the talent, just like Carl said, the talent that we have is what we have, and that is solely on David Gettleman. My concern was today, and this is kind of an interesting question to the stakeholders, was getting rid of Mark Colombo the right thing to do? 15 sacks in two games. Now, sure, some of it could have been on the quarterback, but is our offensive line really progressing? The right side looked extremely terrible. I'm not talking about procedural penalties. I'm talking about just standing their ground, holding their blocks. But, I mean, obviously, you know, Baltimore is very good, but has our offensive line in two games progressed or regressed? We've just given up way too many sacks. And, you know, the other thing I just kind of wanted to leave it on, the defense today, I don't know if DB Nation is on, but I just want to say for my own personal meat grinder, Isaac Yiadom was absolute trash out there today.
Yeah,
he couldn't tackle. He couldn't cover. Believe it or not, I don't know. Maybe Steve, if he's still listening, can explain this. That one possession where Dez Bryant got that touchdown, was that on James Bradbury? Or did James Bradbury signal to someone to cover this guy and someone didn't? But how the hell did Dez Bryant get a touchdown on James Bradbury? He just let him go, walked in the back end of the end zone, and all of a sudden you see the X sign. So I was a little confused on that. At the end of the day, our defense was Swiss cheese. I don't know what they were playing for. I don't know what's going on with Patrick Graham, but, you know, Chris, you could have ran for a touchdown if you were on Baltimore's team. Azul, you could have ran. Carl, you could have ran. I mean, we couldn't wrap up. We couldn't tackle. We were out of position.
It's Christmas time. Why not? Yeah.
No, why not? But, hey, at the end of the day, I think my personal question to every stakeholder on this line, in the last 2 weeks, have we seen progress as a whole? And I would say no.
Good. I'm going to give that very next question, Lit, to the next caller.
Appreciate
Lady
it.
Blue
Thank
says
you.
No. Thank you, sir. The incomparable Manny Dogs is on the line. And
yeah.
Manny Dogs, this is my brother from another mother. Everybody knows this is my best friend there. Hey, look, you heard the call. You heard the answer. I mean, you heard the question that Lit posed. That is absolutely a perfect segue for you to come on and answer and reply to. Progress. Have we made it? Have we attempted it? Everyone else listening, 929-477-4171, post-game roundtable, Bleed Blue Show. Okay, Danny. Manny Dogs, where are you, man? Oh, shoot. Manny Dogs, you know what I did? That was my bad. We'll start
yeah,
again.
You knew
I did that
That's
to you.
Cool,
I did that to you.
Piece,
I did. Look at my face. I did that
piece,
to you.
Man.
No, I'm sorry. All right.
You don't think you can do this for me? And that's the answer. Hey, I'm going to answer the first question about the coverage first, man. That was a zone that was not Bradbury's guy. I'll give you guys a tip it's something that's fun to kind of watch at home, and you'll see defenses disguise this, and I'll try to be quick. But if the DB's backs, if you watch it from the TV in pre-snap, the cornerback has his back tilted or towards the sideline, he's in the zone, okay? Or if he's man up with his back facing the end zone, he's in man. So that's what quarterbacks are reading on a pre-snap. Now, some quarterbacks that are savvy, they're in man with their back to the end zone, but their drop back is going to be back to the sideline. That's a zone. So when Dez Bryant went over, he did what he was supposed to do. He dropped in his zone. Blake Martinez dropped over the middle. The safety bailed and went across with somebody he shouldn't have had. And that's how, boom, big space, wide open, touchdown. So that answers that. Second thing, we have regressed as an
yes,
offense.
Yes, I agree.
And I'm going to – listen, there's no continuity and there's no confidence. When we went on a four-game win streak, we were playing with confidence, right? We did all this, you know, shaking up of the quarterback situation. Quarterback got hurt, whatever the case may be. And that did something because when you can't score points and the offense isn't responding, you are going to regress. And that's what you're seeing. Today was a game where, honestly, the Ravens played exactly the kind of game I coach, where we're just going to punch you in the face and see what you do about it. And if I punch you in the face and we just physically play attitude football, I'll mail you the handbook. I mean, at the end of the day, the playbook was there. We're going to run the ball right at you, and you're not going to do anything about it. And once you control both the lines of scrimmages like they did the Giants formula over the four-game win streak. That's what they did. They controlled both lines of scrimmage. They ran the ball, punched you in the face, and they whooped us pretty good. They whooped us pretty good. There was too many times where the quarterback is taking deep shots on third and short. Now, I call the play, but you make the decision. Okay? I call the play, you make the decision. If it's third and three, you got to know. Just like if it's on defense, you got to know down and distance. You got to know down and distance on offense, too. Like, we shot ourselves in the foot with that. We were horrible tacklers today. We didn't tackle at all. And again, you can't win. You can't beat the Ravens if you score 13 points. Period. You just can't do it. You can't win. I think we scored 26 points in 30. That's not going to do it, bro. That's not going to do it.
Hold on. I got to get you. You got to finish that thought when you come around again. You got to do it. We got to keep it rolling.
Got you.
But you did remind me of something, man. Jake, the great John McKay from USC and Tampa Bay's coach, he did say to the reporters one time, he said, well, today we didn't block very well, but we made up for it by not tackling. That was his famous lie, remember? You did not see
that.
Oh, man. Billy Bow. Oh, Lord. Here we go. He's in his feelings. This is what you're going to get, his feelings. Go ahead, bro.
Good afternoon. No, I'm not in my feelings. I mean, I don't even know what to call this game. It was like one of these games that we said last week. I felt like we just wasted our time watching it. But just to come on and say, the first drive we had, it was pathetic. Go three and out, but just to show you that what kind of players we have, like you looking at Ingram's IQ, it was on the third down, they threw him the ball, and if he just could have waited for the two linemen to get in front of him, he would have blocked to pick up some more yards, but his IQ level wasn't up there, so as soon as he caught it, he took off. He just don't pay attention to the field. That's what we get. That's the kind of talent we have out there. And then we have coaching, where you finally score, but then you want to get on your special team and kick a short ball and then put your defense in another bad predicament. It's like this whole season we've been just putting our defense in bad predicaments. And then to say that, and then you ask yourself, How do you go for it on 4th and 19, but you can't go for it on 4th and 1? You can't go for it on 4th and 5, 4th and 7. You can go for it on 4th and 19. You asking yourself these type of questions when you're looking at these games, and you're like, I'm going to waste my whole Sunday on seeing these type of plays on 4th and 19. And then it's so crazy how Jason Garrett gets so many chances to run plays. Like, even though, granted, we got it was roughing the kicker, you went down the field and scored, but I'm still seeing a lot of plays being left on the field where I'm like, I'm still looking like this ain't working. And then y'all said, has the offensive line regressed? Yeah, it regressed, because we only had one job to do this season. It was nothing. If I told y'all, like, damn, we only got one job, and our key thing is just to run the ball. Just run the ball. And it was so funny because I was watching Brad Winkow when he was talking about fantasy football. He was joking. He said, this is not a joke. But he was like, there's nobody on the Giants that I trust on offense to put on my fantasy team. And he said, the only thing, y'all talking about Gallman. But the funny thing is, it's Alpha Morris. That's the best thing on our offense that you can count on. And with that being said, that just goes to show you that's our talent level. So, hey, man, it's just the Giants just really just showed me what we was like just – out coach. It was just everything out there. It's the same old thing with the wide receivers. Like, okay, Slayton, bombs, you're not catching them no more. So you got to find other ways of being aggressive, going up there to go get them. Don't let the ball come to you. Show some savviness. Wait for the ball to get to you, then try to reach for the ball. But I don't even think they're being coached on that. Or we ask them, why is Daniel Jones holding the ball? Probably because receivers can't get open. Why? I mean, you got Ricky Lyman. Run the ball. Make life easy for them. It's very simple. Just make life easy for the rookies. Just run the ball. But y'all want to put them in predicaments where they got to sit back and, I mean, block against high-level defenders, and they are good players. I mean, this is crazy. That's the way
you're
saying.
Yeah, I am so with you. Look, this is the third consecutive Philly Bob big ups, by the way. This is the third straight season we had 10 or more losses, Azul. Six times in the last 7 years. The frustration, people are saying that, you know, all kinds of things out there, from leveling Daniel Jones, which normally you do start with your quarterback when you criticize your team, through the defense, to the offensive line, all the way up to the front office. That's me mostly, you know, and on and on and on and on. You know, this is almost like, it just came to realization with me just by listening to Billy Bob, man. I mean, you know, what else is there to hang our hats on? What do we hang our hats on from here, man? For the 2020 season going into next year, what do we do?
I mean, it's a week-to-week league. The players are going to still go to their film rooms on Tuesday, get to the practice field Wednesday, Thursday. And try to put something, a game plan together for the players. It's really about play to the next day. Some of these guys are playing for contracts for next season, whether it's with this team or another team. The coaches still have got to find a way to get them encouragement. Maybe we could play, I don't know how the Cowboy-Eagle game is going to go today, but maybe it's a situation where it's a pride thing to beat Dallas, whatever that worth for the team. I don't think that really means anything to Giant players on the staff. Maybe
right.
For Jason Garrett, you know, it's a payback. But for the actual players, I mean, it's just a job. You know, the players play, you know, play to play as far as offense, defense, because they love football. And, you know, some maybe love being a Giant or whatever. That's cool. But at the end of the day, they just want to finish the season on a high note. Maybe you could, you know, build off of that. For the fans, it's totally different. Totally different because, you know, it all depends on who you're talking to, if it's stakeholders, if you're talking about everyday Giant fans who watch it on TV. So their thing is about beating Dallas. A lot of it is about beating Dallas. If you're a Giant fan who hates the Dallas Cowboys, you just want to beat Dallas because it's about bragging rights to your friends. So if we're just talking about players on the field, man, the coaches have got to find a way to continue to preach the message that, you know, let's finish on a high note. I think the direction from the head coach and what he was saying in the presser, for the most part, went through to the players for the as far as, you know,
playing, you know, tackle football, rapping, and playing complete football. I think they did try. They just don't have the talent. And you have to build that through the draft. You have to build that through free agency. And it's, and it shows, because I think when we did our preview show this season, I mean, most of us said 5-6 wins anyway. So, I mean, this is exactly what it is. What they got through the season. Now, we didn't expect injury for Saquon Barkley, but like Billy Bob said, I think that's what I wanted to see the most, and I think that's what's concerning. And if they could improve on that, is the run blocking. When you look at Shane Lemieux, you look at Andrew Thomas, you look at Pert, and whenever he gets in there, Will Hernandez, Gates, you want to see continuity with a young offensive line and a progression. And then it seems like, and it goes back to the Colombo firing. I know they won in Cincinnati and Seattle for a short time, and Carl said it, I think, last post game, he may have said it. We were bamboozled. We were smokescreened. We were gassed as far as we bought the Kool-Aid. We were like, those two games fooled us because we believed that Joe Judge made the right decision. What if Mark Colombo, you know, whatever influence he had on this young offensive line was right? What if? Because it has not been the same. It went up like in the stock market. It goes up and then it peaked at Seattle. And then as soon as we returned home, it was just, and then that Sunday night football game was just a disaster. And then just putting this together. So that's what worries me, is the confidence and the progression of this offensive line. Where did it go wrong? That's where I'm gonna leave that on the table.
Yeah, that's, you know, because that's very interesting. Because I also noticed this game though. I don't see it week to week, that the ball was spread around nice. Very nicely by Daniel Jones. I'll give him that. You know, I mean, the emergence of, I don't know where the hell he came from after all these weeks, but Dante Pettis showed up a little bit on his receptions, and who else had a long one? C.J. Board did, and that was kind of nice, the way he spread it around a little bit. But it's too little too late. You're right about that.
But so, spread it around. But the thing about spreading it around, Crystal, the whole thing is go back to what Manny Dawg said with the best analogy probably of the season. The Giants, to have a chance in these games, have to play ugly football, meaning you have to go to this party with your shirt out, beer belly hanging. You're not here for this party as, you know, dressed up and up to the, you know,
nope,
to the, you know, the group.
Can't have a tie.
You are an ugly troll. The Giants went away from this ugly troll thing. I mean, I don't know where it happened in the lineup. The offensive line is your right spot of this team where you want to see progressing, and they lost their way, man.
They did. Okay, so not, hold on one second, everyone.
I'm sorry. I think, like you said, I think the playing of the quarterback, I don't mean to hog the minutes, I'm saying, and then Carl's been on top of this, Manny, and TV, that the decision not to play Colt McCoy when they went to Daniel Jones in that Arizona game, fucked us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, I had to throw up a minute. Miles Sanders just scored. So I'm sorry, I said to Rich a little bit. 19.47741. Go ahead, Carl. Continue that thought that Azul was just talking about that he left on there, and also you had an earlier thought that I didn't let you finish because your time was up. I forgot what it was though. Carl, you there?
Well, in terms of the overvaluing, I remember when I said it that day. It hit. I think it was after the Arizona game, or it may have been last. No, it was after the last week's game against Cleveland. And the reason I wanted to put that out there is because, as we see again today, I want us to all be very careful about how we evaluate this team when next week's game is over, because there are some parallels between what we have seen this season and what we saw 2 years ago when the team started 1-7, had about 3 wins there in, I think, like November. They had a little bit of expectation to them that maybe they could pull off some sort of miracle. And then all of a sudden things went, you know, down the chute, but they finished off strong. I think there was a game in Indy where I think Steve was there, Litt was there, I was there, where if you watch those last couple of games, it looked like things were progressing. And then all of a sudden next season happened and whatever that was last year. So we have to be very careful about what we have seen this season. I think that the Giants have kind of squeezed as much as they could out of this roster. They've gotten whatever that they could to figure out a way to week to week, figure out a way to manage to stay in these games as long as they could. Obviously the talent issue is what it is. And I'm not totally sure if that is repeatable the next season without more talent. Like, that's the one thing that has me concerned is that, okay, we've gotten what we've gotten. Is that repeatable? I'm not totally sure about that. And if there is any level of regression to what we've seen this season, you'll notice it and then wonder, okay, well, what happened last year? On the other point, I was looking at a quote that Judge had before the game. He said, quote, "It's harder to die from 1,000 razor slices than it is to be from a sword to the heart." And I guess that played into what we saw today is that the Giants were basically going to concede that the Ravens were just going to move down the field and then just hope upon hope that they were just going to stop them. But as it turned out, they never really stopped them at any point at all. And so where do we, you know, when we look back and when we look ahead, the question I would just pose to everybody is this: is what we are seeing a mirage? And that's it's a tricky question to answer, but I think it has to be posed that way because we can't overvalue what we have seen and then think that better things are ahead when we have evidence in our recent past to suggest that that might not be the case.
Hmm. Okay. Ask that question one more time. Say it one more time. The mirage question.
All right, let me see if I can rephrase.
Rephrase that just one more time.
Okay. When we look
at Manny
to next
and
season,
Billy Bob, pay attention, Manny Dogs and Billy Bob. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. When we look ahead to next season, when next week's game is over, how do we value what we have seen this season? Because there is a big talent issue that still hasn't been addressed yet. And I'm trying to figure out if what we have seen this season is a mirage.
Got it. All right. Once again, for you guys out there on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or listening live, www.bleedblueshow.com. This is the Bleed Blue Show. That was Carl and his question. Manny Dogs is going to answer it first, and Billy Bob. Go ahead, gentlemen.
Yeah. Listen, man, I see after no matter what happens, whether we're going into the playoffs or not, if we're not, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever happens, what I'll see is, and I think what we can evaluate is, did the initial plan from Gettleman work? Did we improve the quote-unquote hog mollies? Did we do that? And I think we saw glimpses this year that when playing together and with the right experience, if we keep these guys together, the offensive line can do very well. We can run the ball. We really can run the ball, and we ran the ball better than we did, for a few years, I guess. You know what I mean? We had a more consistent balance. One thing that we can evaluate again is, and reevaluate, was signing Shepard for that money the right move? He's not breaking the edge, and he's not busting up the slot either. We need somebody, a real receiver, that's going to be a go-to guy every time. Funny we had him. And we need an edge rusher. And so if we, at the end of the year, are saying one out of the three top things we've been asking for 6 years, we have some improvement, which is the offensive line. How good a job has the general manager done? If we're still looking for an edge rusher, now we need a receiver, and quarterback still isn't settled either for me. So that's what I think we're looking at.
Alrighty. All right. That's Manny Dogs. Billy Bob.
I'm here. I'm here right here. Listen, after next week's game, I mean, and I already said it. Let me be real with y'all. What the Giants really have to do and really have to consider is drafting players that are capable of being starters, but just you might have to just load up. I mean, like, I'm talking about, like, having number ones coming off the bench. I'm talking about first rounders coming off the bench. Because I just swear, we just need depth. Because if I could just look at what almost went wrong this year and throughout the whole NFL, it's just having depth with good players. Above average players that you know that are suitable, that can get in and carry a load, help you to get the next week to your starter or to the veterans get in. I don't know how that works, but the Jags going to really have to work on that. And one thing I think the Jags may have blown this season, and nobody is not talking about this, is that DeAndre Baker. I think we jumped the gun on that one there. Because I think we would have had depth hey, listen, starting off this year, I've seen the Giants had depth in the secondary. And just to see us be depleted and go down to Yenum, and I know Yenum might have had a bad game, but it shouldn't have got to that far where we had to go get Yenum because I knew we had depth somewhere along the way, but it just injuries killed us. But my whole thing is Giants going to have to work on depth all day. And it's like, that might be a mirage. Y'all might not even looking at it, but I'm looking at Saquon is looking like a mirage because this is the second straight season he's been out. So we can almost look at him like he's the Odell Beckham. So however y'all want to call it, however y'all want to play it, because even when we did get Saquon, I was like, bro, it may look good, but you may need a backup. So I was even hollering about the dude out of Stanford, Love, or some other running back, even running back from Alabama, Jacobs, that's playing. I said, you need to back these players up. You just can't go into a season and say, hey, I got a star player and depend on that star player. But guys, you can see it. Some star players may play good. Some star players get hurt. You just need to have backups now. And that's where this NFL is heading to, is having some capable backups. Giants lack that. We lack that across the board.
Okay. That's Billy Bob. Let me just chime in one thought. Let me just say something. I agree with everybody who's spoken already. But I do believe that no matter what the sport is, the best way you build a team, because I'm pretty sure that if you're in the front office, you have a vision for your squad. You have a vision of how you're going to go about building a winning franchise, all right? And I truly believe that you must be creative in the draft. If you got a whole bunch of number sixes and number seven, you need to cash those in and see if you can move up. You need to really, really be creative, okay?
May I ask a question about that in relation to that?
Yeah.
This is for everybody. If you could give us a quick answer, Carl, Manny Dawes, Billy Bob, because I'm so glad this topic is brought up. I know we should be having a post game versus the Raiders, but I mean, we're almost at the end of the season. Carl, if you could answer this, Manny Dawes, Billy Bob, real quick without getting too long-winded. Josh Allen, a guy most Giant fans wanted in the draft, got Daniel Jones. Phenomenal rookie season, phenomenal. Second season, now whatever is happening in Jacksonville, I cannot necessarily say. I can only honestly say I probably watched maybe two Jaguar games all year. He's had a terrible sophomore campaign. So do you think Josh Allen would have been an asset through 2 years as a Giant had we drafted him? Mm. Or do you think, do we have the coaching to coach up Josh Allen when in the second season in Jacksonville has been a complete dud, knowing that we went with the Daniel Jones route in the draft? So if you guys can give me your answer, what's your thoughts as far as, now I would say buyer's remorse, but now you're looking at it years in, Josh Allen not producing like they thought that he would in Jacksonville. We need an edge rusher. We would have went with an edge rusher. If we had went with that edge rusher, it's a possibility it could not have worked out anyway. So what's your thoughts on that?
It's tough to say, to be honest. It's tough to say from the standpoint. I guess it's becoming clearly obvious now that Jones is overdrafted, but should they have taken Allen? I know that was the consensus at the time, but I'm looking at the guys that were picked after him. Devin Bush, Ed Oliver, the rest of the guys I'm looking at, haven't really done much either so far. And so it's like the best of a bunch of bad options. could he have been in this situation? Possibly. But that draft, if you're looking at it, outside of maybe two or three guys, has not been producing a whole lot.
Not at all. And he's getting ready to go on.
What about Mandy and Billy?
I believe if we would have gotten Josh Allen, and he had the type of year he had his first year, you get him in the same system. I think Josh Allen is a 3-4 guy, so I think he would have been okay this year anyway. But I think we have to really take into consideration what losing does to people. When you're getting beat up on, it really wears on you, man. So I think it'd have been a better pick to have Josh Allen. So
yeah, and Billy Bob.
Yeah, I can second that. Yeah, because if we're basing it off his rookie, that's when he was playing with a whole. I think he was playing with a good defense. So basically, what if he would have came to the Giants and had that same year? We would have probably built off of him. See, that's just having a cornerstone. Just like it just go both ways. Of just saying having Daniel Jones, we could build off of Daniel Jones. But if we would have had him, we probably would have had a fantastic defense. And then just saying, could we have picked up a right quarterback and made it work? Yes, we could have got by with that. Hell yeah. The Giants would have good marketing. Yes. Yes, by far,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, just
agree
think about this. If we had got Josh Allen that draft and then last year, instead of Lawrence maybe picking up Montez Sweat, look at that edges.
Hmm. Wow. Would that have impacted the signing of Martinez somehow?
And I was okay with that.
I mean,
we'd have been all right.
They've had to put money back into that position to just fortify it because it was so bad previously.
Exactly.
And the domino effect of sacrificing draft capital for Leonard Williams.
Rookie deal.
Say that again about the rookie deal. What? Say it again.
We'd have saved money on that because we wouldn't have spent max dollar. They'd have been on rookie deals.
That's right. That's right.
Well, and on top of that, it's possible we don't do the Leonard Williams deal because you gave up draft capital in that deal to make up for whatever defensive line deficiencies you had at that time.
Which goes all the way back to Carl's question, okay? So how do we evaluate our current situation going into next year, whether it be free agency, draft, or whatever? Because something always impacts something else. I mean, most of it is money and roster spots and continuity and vision. You know, I don't, or best player available, or whatever the case may be. I don't know. Lady Blue answered as well. She says, we've seen some glimmers of hope, but we are just way too inconsistent. And not for nothing, but why are we discussing should have, would have, could have when? I'll answer that one because we got to go forward. We got to go forward. And to do that, we gotta look at what kind of hand we already have. And right now, it's, you know what, I don't see it. You know, I gotta tell you, I am not saying you guys are, but I'm not as pessimistic as about our future than the status quo Giant fan is. Okay, I think there are some places to be. There are some holes to be fixed, some improvements to be made. There's a lot of things we could be doing, but it all has to start with what do our management / coaches / coordinators, do they want to see done? What do they want to compete? What kind of team do you want? Do you want a hard nose, hard heading, fire and breathing? What do you want? Do you want a finesse, kind of clean, Tom Brady-ish? What do you got to decide what kind of vision that you're going to, man.
You know, Chris, that's actually that's a really good point because let's say look at the next season. What kind of offensive team do the Giants want to be next season? Is this a team that's just going to try to be we're just going to grind the game out, and basically run the ball 500 times next season or whatever the number is going to be, you know, just a heavy run team and occasionally pass the ball, asking the quarterback to be a manager, or are we going to have the quarterback be an offense where we're going to try to score 400 points in a season or 450, whatever the number is going to be, and spread the ball around and be an explosive offense? If the team can't answer that question going into next season, then what talent, when we say upgrade the talent, well, what are we upgrading? Are we just getting players just to get them? What is the plan? And I don't even think this season there was really a plan in place. And I think that's the thing, is that what are we just sort of planning for the week? Is that what we're doing here?
I do think there was a plan, though. The plan to me, and I don't know where Manny and Billy Bob stand, the plan to me was to fortify the offensive line. I think somewhere along that Cincinnati game, right before – we were in between the bye weeks where Colombo got fired. That's where things, you know, we could look at Joe Judge and he's doing this, you know, managing this thing as far as getting rid of guys, whether it's coaches or players, whatever. You're not on the Joe Judge plan. Because if you watch the Joe Judge report on MSG, I mean, he'd be talking that ish, man. He'd be talking real greasy ish, man. I was like, wow. You know, I mean, he doesn't care. I mean, he has this thing where, you know, if it's his way or the highway. And then sometimes that could backfire. And it goes back to what Liz said, man, because as though the line was playing well, it's somewhere that Arizona game, it just lost its toll. Maybe they didn't get that culture from that line that we thought that we're missing. And number two, but to answer Carl's question, I don't know where the other guys stand. Oh, the plan was definitely to fortify the offensive line, Lemieux, Pert, Andrew Thomas. I just think when we see – they could be coached up. I think they are coachable. I just think there was somewhere along the line where the transfer between head coach and the offensive line coach, where we thought we would see progress, failed miserably, and we got exposed in the Cardinal game, the Brown game, and the Ravens game.
Exactly. Because when we were 5-7, there were 5 of those 6 losses. We were in the game. We were in the game with Pittsburgh. I don't think we would have won it anyway, but we were in the game. Chicago, we were definitely in it. The Rams, definitely in it. Should have beat Dallas. Should have beat Philly or Tampa Bay. We were there. So there is some modification to be made. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can I say this?
Yes.
Can I say, look,
yes.
I think we have figured out our identity. And if we run away from it, we're just going to be spinning our wheels. We are a run-first team. The Giants historically have been a run-first team. Okay?
Right.
And every time this season we have gone away from that and tried to make Daniel Jones a passer who's going to pass the ball 30 to 40 times, we just get stymied every time. Every time we put the ball in the quarterback's hands, we get stymied. And that's the formula. The formula is simple. Giants play well, and when the fans get in the building, you better believe they're going to let you hear it. We play better when the fans is rowdy, we punching people in the face for living, and we got strong defense. And when we were 5-7, that's what we were doing. For some reason, when we got back, it's like we regressed to the first 2 weeks. We put those rookies in the situation where they had to pass block more than they ran block, and it ended up being bad. When you got that going on with a quarterback that doesn't have pocket presence and makes bad decisions under pressure, this is what happens. You lose games the way we lose games. So our identity is set, is what we're going to do to build with that.
Mm. And you want to add anything to that real quick, Bob? I agree.
Basically what we did, I'm going to tell you what the Giants basically did. We basically he came from out of Duke, right? So I'm looking at him like, you know how you get to the NFL, you're probably looking at, well, this guy could be good if we surround him with players. And basically what we did, we just took Duke offense and brought it to the New York Giants and say, play with the same team you were playing at Duke with. And that's what I'm basically watching. And he's playing with nobody, and we asking him to make miracles. And we're asking a quarterback I mean, you play a different style of a game. I don't understand how he became a running quarterback when I thought he was a passing quarterback. And then what happened, his leg became a scrum suit. And we still, and the Giants still can't figure that out. When it's like, know your personnel, get this man some help. And then you know what bothered me too about this offensive line? How I'm just looking all over the league, and I'm watching glimpses of parts of our offensive line all over the league. People like Bobby Hart making a name for themselves. People like DJ Fluker out there for Baltimore doing stuff that the Giants were supposed to do. Y'all know DJ Fluker was in a good pass blocker, but he damn sure was a good run blocker. How did Baltimore know that? They know their personnel. And when it comes to the Giants, we just don't understand that. I don't know, dog. Giants got to really start looking on their staff and start to figure out what seemed to be the problem and why they can't figure out who they putting out there on their personnel. Figure this shit out. I know a lot of dudes get paid a lot of money because it's hurting me to see other players leave our team and be successful and play today straight. And that's the problem.
I know. Know your personnel. All right. Let's do this real quick. Listen, everybody. Hold on one second. We're going to do these picks real quick. Here we go. Dolphins at Bills. Listen again. Dolphins at Bills. Cardinals at Rams. Redskins at Eagles. And Cowboys at Giants. Dolphins at Bills. Cardinals at Rams. Redskins at Eagles. Cowboys at Giants. Okay. Right now, leading in points is Lady Blue with 68. Carl's got 66. Azul's got 64. I got 60, and Manny's got 50. All right. Let me try. Lady Blue, please write yours in. And Carl, we're going to start with you.
All right. Since we don't know if some of these games are going to mean what for whatever, I'm going to take a chance here. I'm going to say Giants 1, Arizona 2, Miami 3, and Philadelphia 4.
Okay. Got it. Manny Dog.
Carl, get out my house, man. That's exactly what I had down. Exactly. Oh, damn you, Carl.
All right, Billy Bob.
Hey, I want everything like Steve paper because I need to catch up. I want everything with Steve guy. Yeah.
Okay.
Everything, everybody he picking. I'm on his paper. I'm all on his paper.
Okay.
I'm the day.
Okay. Got it. That's gonna be. I'm gonna wait on Steve for a minute. Hold on. Me and Lady Blue have the very same as well. Bills 4, Rams 3, Eagles 2, Giants 1. All right, Azul. So, somebody's copying off your paper, man. You want me to tell teacher?
Yeah, it's all good. No snitching, man. No snitching. Let me think, man, because I got to strategically try to find a way to catch Carl in your lane without saying the same shit. All right, Cowboys 4.
Okay.
Oh, fuck. Dolphins 3.
That's okay.
I don't like but Rams. Rams 2, Redskins 1. Or Eagle, yeah, Redskins 1, right. That's right. So I got it on all this. I'll go back in.
All right. Okay, let's do this. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and Lady Blue picked the Washington football team is going to be her last. Is that over with?
I was
over
with
a long time ago.
I know. All right. So let's do a little final thought. Carl, give me one, please.
Hey, you know, no football here. I just want to wish everybody a good holiday. We didn't know if we were going to have football this year. We're going to get through it next week when this last game's over. We didn't see each other much. And we hope everybody's been safe. Stay safe. And let's hope that 2021 gives us a better thing than 2020 did.
Absolutely. Let's do that. Big ups to that. Thank you, bro. Manny Dog.
Yeah, man, I'm a echo that. Say, you know, hope everybody has a great holiday. Stay safe. And let's pray for a miracle. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue. Billy Bob.
For real, man. Happy holidays to everybody, man. You know, happy New Year's. For real, ain't nothing new. I mean, hey, listen, that's what it is for real. And then final thoughts is we should take Alpha Morris next year.
Only if he can beat Lemieux in the courtroom.
First, it was Randall L. First was Randall L. A couple of years back. Now you freaking Alpha Morris. I knew you was gonna sneak that in. Anyway, Lady Blue says, have a great week, my Giants family. Love you all. Let's go, miserable Cowboys. That's her final thought. Check out the Ranger Proud episode this Tuesday. They're going to be talking about the new Metro Division. So check that out on Tuesday evening on the Big Blue Show. The next episode is Wednesday. They'll be talking the reaction to the Sixers game when they got their ass beat. Bucks and upcoming game against the Raptors. Our final post game is next Sunday, right here where you are on the Bleed Blue Show, 929-477-4171. You know what, man? Rest in peace, Phil Negro, Yankee and Braves, great man. He passed away this morning. They're going to remember him well. Look, happy holidays, everybody. We tried. We did the best we can. But, alas, it is not over because there's more football to come like there have been the last, 95 years with this team. So we're going to be good. We're going to be all right. I want everybody also to remember to check us out on iTunes. Well, like the Bleed Blue fan page first, where you can see all the video episodes, the video highlights, and the video breakdowns from all the games and everything you want to research. The Bleed Blue Facebook fan page, which is on social media with everything else, man. Check us out on iTunes, all the podcasts, Republics, and Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all that good stuff for our archives, all the Bleed Blue Show stuff, man. All the shows, all for the past 6-7 years, however long it's been. So, speaking for Billy Bob and Manny Dogs and Carl and the wonderful Lady Blue, I'm going to pass it over to Azul to close us down, sir.
Yeah, how much fun was that annual holiday episode, man, last week?
Absolutely fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Was a fantastic episode. Shout-outs to everybody on, Chris, Bleeding Yankee Blue Susie Prof, RP, Knickerbocker Ave. Fantastic. And stakeholder, you know, the year that we did, Jimmy, shout-outs to Jimmy on the baseball episodes. It was well worth it, man. Well, honors bowl. And, of course, the awards we gave out, the episodes in the archives. But, you know, for the football, we'll be back. There's going to be no preview this Thursday.
Shout out to
Lit. Okay. You know, you mentioned Phil Negro, man. You know, his guy passed away too, man. Casey Jones, man. You know?
Casey Jones, big ups to you, sir. Great.
How many Casey Jones references we heard from him over the years? You know?
He was almost our coach. He was almost the Knicks coach, and I always think about him that way. All the time, man. I'm like, almost. He was almost there, you know. Forget it. Don't let me get started with that. That's another thing. By the way, Carolina's beating up Washington football team 19-0. And the Eagles are beating the Cowgirls 14-3. So it's been a wonderful season, case the Sarah, like Doris Day would say.
Yeah, well, let's have a fun after the game next week versus the Cowboys. I don't know, man. I mean, win or lose, we're just gonna talk what we see. Let's not like Carl said. Let's not overreact to the players on the field. Yeah, I'm actually gonna come in there with happy spirits because this game I didn't expect this to win. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all. Like, I didn't come in here as if the Giants were 20-point favorites and we lost the way we did. Like, we don't look at these games like that. Like, we know our team. And we want them to play to the best of their capabilities. This team has been maxed out, man. Like, I think this was a 5-6 win team with this roster anyway. And that's how I take it.
But let's see if we can get another win on top. I would love to beat Dallas, you know. But hey, we'll see how things go, man. So I'm gonna ask you, ladies and gentlemen. Oh yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Bleed blue. Have a wonderful holiday, everyone.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.